Welcome to Imprint, a podcast about creating a home and life you love. I'm Natalie Walton, an interior designer, stylist, and best-selling author focused on an holistic approach to homes. Each week, I'm sharing insights and interviews about the creative process to help you enhance both your interiors and well-being, as well as provide you with the tools and resources to make considered and sustainable choices with all that you create. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Imprint. I'm really looking forward to this conversation today because I think it is something that we all experience. We start the year with, you know, great hopes in our heart, grand plans perhaps. And then as the year starts to progress, it can get really challenging to stay connected with the goals that you set for yourself and really stay on track and make them happen. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. And I want to get really practical. So I'm going to be sharing 10 practical steps to help you really reconnect with the goals that you set at the start of the year. And whether you are listening to this in 2024, or maybe you might be listening sometime in the future, then it doesn't really matter. And this is something that can apply. It could even be you're listening to this 6 months into the year, and the goals that you set in the start of the year can feel like some kind of vague, distant memory. Well, it's time to change that. And I want you to know that it is possible to reconnect because, first of all, I want you to know that you had those goals, you had those ideas, you had those dreams for a reason. They were speaking to you for a reason. And we all have different things in our hearts. You know, I know that I have certain goals that are on my mind and on my heart, and you will have certain ones that are unique to you, and you have them for a very specific reason, and you're having them right now for a very specific reason because they are calling to you, and I really do believe that. So how do we listen when our dreams and our goals are calling to us? How do we listen and pay attention and then turn that into something that is practical that we can actually put into action without feeling like we're a failure because we're not as far ahead as we want, or that, you know, we're doing all the wrong things and we start to beat ourselves up about that? So I don't want that to be the way that you talk to yourself or your story. Instead, I want this to be something that you feel really positive about. And it's like, you know what? This is where I am right now. These are some things that I can do. And maybe you apply one idea, maybe you apply all 10, but I really want you to get something out of this to help encourage, inspire you wherever you are right now on your journey. So the first idea that I want to share with you is it's really important to reflect. So reflect on your journey so far. Reflect on the progress that you have or perhaps haven't made since the start of the year. And it's really important to ask yourself these three questions. Whenever I am reflecting, these are three questions that I ask myself. They're very easy. They're very simple. You can write this down, or, you know, if you're driving, obviously don't do that. You can come back to this. They're easy to remember though. And that is, you know, what worked? What has worked so far this year? And it might even seem completely unrelated to your goal. Maybe what's worked so far this year is that you're not spending so much time on your phone. You've made a commitment that you're not going to spend as much time on your phone, and you've actually stayed with that commitment. But maybe some of your other goals, you feel like you're really off track. So give yourself some encouragement about what has worked. Maybe you've made a commitment that you're going to do more meal planning, or you are going to really use Google Calendar for your work or for your home life, whatever it is. So look at what has worked so far. Maybe you're on top of the school emails. I feel like that's something that's worked for me so far this year. I mean, we're still very early in the year, but you know, you've got to sort of rack up, like, what are some of your wins so far? And then look at what hasn't worked. And with each of these questions, ask yourself the very simple but important question, why? Why did it work? Why didn't it work? maybe checking school correspondence has worked because you've set yourself a daily time to do that. Something that's actually working really well for me so far this year, and I feel inspired to continue it, is that at the end of every week, I've actually gotten into the habit of scheduling my upcoming week in Google Calendar so that I know what my week is going to look like at the end of Friday. So basically on a Friday afternoon, I am planning my upcoming week based on all the tasks. And why I like this is because for a start, it actually feels really good. It feels good to end the week knowing that I'm going to start Monday and everything is already planned out. So that feels so good. It also feels good because I have everything that's happened in this past week fresh in my mind. And so I can then do that straight away rather than what I had been doing in the past was I would do it on a Monday morning and I had to kind of look back through the past week and think, okay, so where was I up to with that particular task? You know, where and kind of it was like my brain had to catch up to speed with what was happening. Now, I know some people do this on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday evening. I just can't bring myself to do that. For me, my weekends are very sacred. I don't like to do any work on the weekends. And so I actually enjoy doing it on a Friday afternoon, going through this task. So again, look at what has worked and, you know, why has it worked? Maybe it's email correspondence with the school, whatever it is for you. And you think, okay, well, I broke it up into small, simple steps, or I just made it easier, or I scheduled a time to do that. And then look at, you know, why. So really learn from what you're doing and then move on. Apply what's working in one area and apply it to another that's perhaps a bit more of a challenge. So number two is to revisit your vision and priorities. It is amazing how easy it is actually to forget what our goals are. Now that can sound, you know, when you say it out loud, it sounds almost a little bit crazy, but it is so easy to get caught in the weeds of daily life that we actually completely forget what the goals are that we set for ourselves. It is so important to have them somewhere that you can connect with them on a daily basis, whether it is in your diary, whether it is a post-it note, whether it is that you have a practice of every Monday going over your goals. It's so important to revisit them and stay connected with them, whether it's journaling on them and really envisaging what you want that goal or that dream to look like. So really make sure that you revisit your vision and your priorities so that you can stay focused on that. This is something we do within my businesses, both within Imprint House and within what we call Team Walton side of things. And we make sure we have goals for every quarter and that in each weekly meeting, we are looking at what are those big quarterly goals and that we're staying on track and on focus for those in each quarter, each week. You know, we're staying connected with that vision and that goal. Number three is to review. So it's important to break down your goals into smaller actionable steps. Often the reason that we don't reach our goals or we don't stay on track is because they are these big grand ideas, which is important. That definitely has a place. And I think it is important to dream big, but we don't break it down into really simple actionable steps. And I'm sure many of you have heard of SMART goals, which is, you know, specific, measurable, there's relevant, time-bound, actionable, you know, so there's, if you look up SMART, S-M-A-R-T, then you will get the idea. So let me just tell you what it is. Specific, measurable, achievable, there we go, relevant and time-bound. So achievable means that that it's something that you can do. So it's not so out of reach that you kind of give up before you even try. So it's really important to create goals that are, again, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Time-bound is giving yourself a deadline. I've spoken about this many times, how important it is to give yourself a deadline. You're more likely to achieve it. And in fact, if you do set SMART goals, you are actually 76% more likely to achieve them. So as I said, this is what we have done within our meeting sessions that we have for the two different sides of the business, is that we have broken down those big annual goals into quarterly goals and then, you know, weekly goals. What are we going to do each week to move towards those other goals? So there are so many different ways that you can do that. I mean, a simple example of this is if you've got a health goal and you want to get to the gym more, it's how can you break that down into, you know, the simplest, easiest way to achieve that. And maybe it is that, okay, my goal for a Wednesday is to put my trainers in the car. Because if I put my trainers in the car, I'm more likely to go for a walk or a run at lunchtime. I don't know. That's just a little example of what it could be. Number four is to refine. So assess and adjust your goals. You really need to check in with yourself about what these goals are. Are they working for you, especially as the year progresses? And there can be changes in circumstances. If you've got a team, you might have changes in your team. There might be changes in your family life, your personal life. You might be facing challenges with your children and their school or their schoolwork. They might be facing challenges. There can be so many different things that can come up. So it is important to, you know, really refine your goals as you go in, but be flexible and adjust and adapt. But I would say that it is also important to be careful that you're not just making excuses for yourself. I'll give you an example. It might sound, I hope this doesn't sound harsh, but one of my daughters has been doing a class project and they were learning to do a dance as part of this class project. And her friends got together and they spent hours doing it, and they had so much fun practicing this dance that they were going to perform in front of the rest of the class. And as the time came along, one of the girls said, "Oh no, it's so embarrassing. I don't want to do this. You know, it's really embarrassing." And so they said, "Let's just do the presentation instead. We're not going to do the practical part of it. We're just going to do the presentation." And to my mind, I was saying to my daughter that, well, you know, I think, first of all, I actually think their dance was amazing. And secondly, I said, "No, I think you really should do it. Like, it's, you know, I think it's important that you are excited and enthusiastic to do this thing. And, you know, it is really good. And, you know, we don't just give up because we're worried about what other people are going to think about us. Like, I think it's really important to be resilient." And so that would be, you know, my encouragement for any of you who are listening, that maybe you're starting to doubt yourself and fear is kicking in. And I would just say to really check in about, if you are looking to assess or adjust your goals, that is completely fine. If you've got data or evidence that, you know, this is the right next step for me, go for it. However, if it is your fear talking, if it is your fear holding you back, be really careful with that. Because when you look back, you don't want to feel like your life has been held hostage by your fear. And that is something that is very easy to do. I think we've all been in situations where fear has held us back in some capacity, and really question if you want that to happen to you. Do you really want to live a life where you have been held hostage on your dreams because of fear? Number five relates to the role of accountability. And it is so important to have some kind of accountability, have some kind of support to help you achieve your goals. And there is so much evidence and science and statistics that back this up, that, you know, there's one study that shows that you've got a 65% chance of completing a goal if you commit to someone else. So this is really where the role of accountability partnerships really play an important role, support networks, having feedback, having people who are encouraging and motivating you. This is why within my program Design and Grow, I have introduced accountability pods, and they have been hugely successful. People are having such a great experience within them, because it's so important to surround yourself with people who are on a similar journey to you. That's why, again, like if we take the health example, you know, if you want to do more exercise, then do it with a friend. You know, commit to going on a weekly walk with a friend or going to a gym class. Similarly, if you're trying to grow your business, you want to surround yourself with people who are on a similar journey to you. Otherwise, it can be really lonely. It can be really hard to stay the course. It can be really hard to stay on track. So it's so important to surround yourself with people who are on a similar journey to you. Just quickly, can you think about how you discovered this podcast? It was probably when someone shared it with you, maybe on Instagram or someone sent you a text message. I often share podcasts this way with my friends and family, or maybe somebody told you about it. The only way this podcast grows is through word of mouth. I don't run any ads, even though I've been asked. I don't do affiliate links or anything like that. And so to make this podcast possible, my one ask of you is that you share it with someone, perhaps in the same way that you found it. Maybe you read a review or saw it on Instagram. It would not only mean so much to me and help make the podcast possible, but you're also going to be helping someone else like you, or maybe a version of you a few steps back who is on their journey to creating a home and life they love. That one little action that you can take today can really make a huge difference. Number six is to reset. Reset your spaces. Create a supportive environment that is going to help you achieve your goals. I am so deeply affected by my environment in terms of it has a huge impact on how I feel. And if my desk is messy, then I can't work there. And I will literally go to the kitchen table, or I'll come to the studio. That's where I'm recording this today. I need to be in a space that is clear of clutter. If my children have been using glue sticks and grabbing out fabric and, you know, doing all these things, and it's like, no, I don't want to be tidying up right now. I really want to be working. Then I will go to a place that is clear. Similarly, it might sound silly, but it is definitely not. You know, it's important to have an environment that is comfortable to be in. And by this, I mean, if it's too hot, then, you know, can you have cold drinks nearby or a fan, or can you wear cool clothing? Actually, before recording this podcast, it's been really balmy where I live. And I got changed out of another dress and I put a singlet top on and some shorts. And I'm like, I want to be cool. I want to be comfortable while I record this podcast because it just makes it easier. I'm not focusing on like, oh gosh, I feel so hot. Instead, I'm focusing on, you know, hopefully delivering content that is really helpful to you. So the similar, you know, the converse is true as well, is that if you feel really cold, then get some slippers, get a hot water bottle, get a blanket. Like when if our homes in Australia are often not designed for the cold. And so we can actually feel the cold a lot more than say in the Northern Hemisphere, where you have to, you know, build homes that meet those kind of standards. And so there will be times where I might be working and I have a blanket wrapped around my waist. I'll have woolen socks on and slippers. And I will even sometimes have a hot water bottle because I can really feel the cold. Sometimes I actually lose circulation in my fingers and my toes. And if I'm sitting down writing for long periods of time or sitting down at my desk working for long periods of time, then I can really feel that. So, you know, it's really important to create a comfortable work environment so that you can be focused. It's so easy to get distracted if you're too hot or you're too cold or you're thirsty or, you know, you're not hydrated or whatever it is for you. And similarly, just be conscious as well of lighting. Lighting plays such a big role in our environments, and it's really important to be conscious of how light affects you. So for me, natural daylight is when I work best. So I actually have tried at times to wake up early to write, and I find that I'm just too sleepy. And there is, you know, theory that if you do wake up and you don't have natural light, make sure you put on lots of, you know, even if it's artificial light, so that your circadian rhythms change and you start to adjust to that. So, you know, that is really important. Similarly, if you are, obviously, if you're working late at night and you want to get a good night's sleep, then you might want to be conscious of blue light and countering for that. But I actually, if I haven't got all my work done and if I need to work in the evenings, I actually find I get a second wind and I'm better at work in the evenings than, say, waking up early. So just be conscious of, like, when is the best time for you to work and where is the best place for you to work? There have been times where I've gone to my local library and just worked in my local library. Some people really benefit from working in a coffee shop. I couldn't think of anything worse. I would be so distracted. I actually thrive in quiet. I need a quiet environment. So just tap in or tune into what works best for you. And number seven is resilience. I've touched on this already, but it is so important to really understand, and I really want to, you know, reinforce this idea that so much of life is 50-50. You know, we can sometimes think that, you know, everything is either going to be amazing when we get to a certain point. You know, we think, oh, when I've achieved this goal, then like life will be brilliant and perfect. Well, we've got to really enjoy this moment now because, you know, in the future, there will still be challenges. Just like in this moment right now, there are things that are good and there are things that we are doing well. So we need to embrace the 50-50 of life. And just a reminder that in the best moments, there is always a challenge around the corner. And in the hardest moments, there is a silver lining coming your way. So nothing is ever as good or as bad as we believe. And so my encouragement for you to be more resilient is for you to ask yourself, you know, what can you do to make the most of today? What can you do to make the most of this moment? What can you do today to make the most of this year? And really focus on that rather than, you know, thinking about the areas where you feel like you might be failing or that you might be struggling or you know, challenges that are coming your way. Instead, take everything as not a failing, but a lesson. You know, that is all that we ever get, is we get lessons from things, and to take those lessons and, you know, and use them wisely and put them into play and learn from them and move forward. Number eight is to refine. I've had a bit of alliteration going on here. I don't know if you've noticed. It just helps my brain. So I hope I haven't repeated this one already. But anyway, this idea is really about embracing creativity with your goals. So it is very easy to get stuck with our goals and think, why can't I get my business to grow? Or why can't I lose weight? Or why am I really struggling to make new friends? Or why can't I eat more healthy? Or whatever it is for you. And instead of asking, why can't I, ask, how can I? So how can I get my business to grow? How can I eat more healthy foods? How can I exercise more? How can I feel better? How can I enjoy my life more? How can I have more fun? You know, that can be sometimes a great question when we're kind of going through, you know, life and the sort of the day to day, and it feels like everything's like, oh, it just feels a bit like a groundhog day. When we change and switch the script on this from, you know, why can't I, to how can I, what happens is that our brain starts to look for answers. Our brain needs to solve problems. And so if we give it a better question, we will get better answers. And this is something that I share with students within Designer Grow and also, you know, my other programs as well, is to ask yourself these better questions and give yourself evidence as well for why you are perfectly placed to be able to do this thing. So whatever your goal is, you know, write a list of like 10 or 20 reasons, like really stretch yourself on why are you perfectly placed to achieve this goal? Because sometimes our brains can so easily go to the negative, so easily want us to sort of give up and sort of, you know, cave into that fear. But as we've mentioned before, We need to give our brains reasons why we're capable of doing something and why we're capable of succeeding, and give ourselves better questions to ask ourselves as well. Number 9 relates to prioritizing really yourself and giving yourself the resources to succeed. So when I say this, it's about this idea that I first came across in Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I was reading this when I was doing the research for my book, This Is Home. And I remember I kind of like really thought like, oh, it's, you know, the title of the book seemed a bit cringy. And I really avoided that book for many years. I think my dad had it on his bookshelf, and even my husband had it on his bookshelf at one time. And then I just, the curiosity got the better of me, and I was reading it. And he has this idea of how important it is to sharpen the saw, that you can't, you know, you can't chop down a log or cut a log with a dull axe, that you need to sharpen it. And this idea that you need to take the time to literally sharpen it. So, you know, if you've got, it's like if you're cooking at home. And oh gosh, you know, I go into so many homes when you're staying in Airbnbs or different places. And even when I've been on people's homes for photo shoots, and I need to maybe like a cut a watermelon in half as a prop or fruit or whatever. And I'll ask people for a knife, and they've got such dull knives. And you can't cook well, you can't cook quickly if you've got a dull knife. You need to take the time to sharpen your knives when it comes to cooking. And it's similar, this idea of whatever the goals that you have in your life, you need to take the time to restore yourself and give yourself the best resources to succeed. So again, it's similar to the idea of that you can't pour from an empty cup. So some of the foundational elements, and I'm sure you've heard of these before, but they do work. And I know for myself as well that when I start to sort of sometimes slip out of, you know, being my best self in terms of the way that I want to live, and I kind of get maybe start to slip into some bad habits, then when I do any of these things, I instantly start to feel better. Of course, you know that starts with getting sleep. And we all know now the importance of getting a good night's sleep, practicing good sleep hygiene, no screens before bedtime, reading if you can, you know, dimming the lights in the evening. These are all very simple, completely free things that you can do to get a good night's sleep. Yes, there are lots of gadgets out there that you can buy, but really it can be so simple. And it's as simple as, you know, preparing for bed about an hour beforehand, dimming the lights, reading a good book, and giving yourself the opportunity to have a really good night's sleep. Drinking more water, so important. Drinking less caffeine, equally important. Really watching what you eat in terms of, this will have a huge impact on your energy levels. If you find that you're not getting the amount of work done that you want to get done, it could be related to your energy levels. Okay, and the 10th idea that I wanted to share with you is that it really is important to understand that you reap what you sow. You need to take action and move forward. We can't just wish our goals into reality, unfortunately. We have to do the work. So what action can you take today to help you move towards your goal? And like we mentioned earlier, break it down into a really simple, easy one. Ask yourself, what is one thing that you can do to move closer to your goals? Is it that you can go into the gym for 5 minutes? Maybe you can even just press pause, go and grab a skipping rope and do some skipping. Or maybe it is that you can go and email that client. Or maybe it is that you're going to say yes, yes to something that's been on your heart and is going to help you pursue your dreams. Is it that you are going to connect and make a commitment to connecting with people who are on a similar journey to you? So really look at ways that you can take action to move forward towards your goals. So let's take a quick recap of some of these ideas that I've shared with you today. Number one is to reflect. Reflect on your journey so far and take a look back at what worked, what didn't, and why. Number two is to revisit. Revisit your vision and priorities and really remember that it's so easy to get caught in the weeds, but we need to stay connected with our goals on a daily and weekly basis, especially if they're annual goals, they're big goals for the year. We need to break them down. Number three is to review. So this really is this process of breaking your goals down into actionable steps and having SMART goals. Remember, SMART is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Number four was to refine, to assess and adjust your goals if, you know, there are challenges or things that come up in your life, but just be careful that you're not making excuses for yourself. Number five is the role of accountability and how important it is to surround yourself with people who are on a similar journey to yourself. Have some kind of accountability. It makes it so much easier and you're much more likely to achieve your goals this way. Number six is to reset your spaces. Really understand the impact that your environment has on goal achievement. And that you just got to make your life easier for yourself. And if you're struggling to have focus, if you're struggling to get through your work, if you're struggling to, you know, get your tasks done, look at your environment and how it's helping or hindering your achievement on a daily basis. Number seven is resilience, the importance of practicing self-compassion and resilience and remembering that, you know, in the best moments, there is always a challenge around the corner. And in the hardest moments, there is a silver lining come your way. So we just have to ultimately, you know, stay connected with our goals and stay on track. Number eight is to refine and look at ways that you can embrace creativity in relation to your goals. So asking better questions. So instead of asking, why can't I achieve X, Y, or Z? Ask, how can I achieve X, Y, or Z? Number nine is to restore yourself and really give yourself the resources to prioritize self-care and well-being. We talked about the idea of that you can't pour from an empty cup. So really, you know, look at ways that you can get more sleep, look after yourself, and really as well, pay attention to who you listen to. It's really important that when you're getting advice, that you're getting advice from people who are where you want to be. We can have family members and friends who are very well-meaning and really want the best for us. But if they aren't actually achieving what we want, then we shouldn't really be taking advice from them in that capacity. Sure, they can support us, they can encourage us, but we don't want to necessarily take advice from them if they aren't actually where we want to be. And number 10 is reap what you sow. So ask yourself, what is one thing that you can do today to move yourself closer towards your goals? I hope that you have helped this. You found this episode inspiring and encouraging to help you reconnect with your goals so that you can stay on track and really get that clarity that you're looking for and that encouragement and motivation to keep the course and really stay connected with what was on your heart at the start of the year. I hope that you found this helpful. As always, if you know someone who could do with a little bit of encouragement, then please share it with them. If you are new to the podcast, I hope that you've found this episode inspiring and encouraging, and please make sure you hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode. And if you are a longtime listener or a regular listener and you have yet to leave a 5-star rating or a review, I would greatly appreciate this. That is, you have been listening to episode 177, so you could put that in the review and leave me a quick note. It will take you less than 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and it would mean the world to me and really help someone else who is looking for this kind of encouragement on their journey. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a beautiful week. All of the links and info for this episode are at nataliewalton.com/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so that you can get a direct download of the latest episode. And I really appreciate when you take a minute to rate and review, as well as share the love with someone you know who might benefit from this episode, or on social media. If you'd like to access a range of free resources, come visit my website, nataliewalton.com. Thank you to Jaeger Media for producing this podcast. And I would also like to acknowledge the people of the Bundjalung Nation where it was recorded and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. I look forward to connecting again soon. I'm Natalie Walton, and you've been listening to Imprint.